You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Philippa Hitchin. The annual Holy Land Coordination Pilgrimage of Bishops from Europe, North America and South Africa gets underway this weekend in Bethlehem and the Jordanian capital, Amman. The church leaders, including one Anglican bishop, are visiting local parishes, schools and development organisations to show the support of the worldwide Christian community and gain insights into the complex political and religious problems underlying the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Ahead of their main meetings, the bishops have spent 2 days in Gaza to see how people there are recovering from the 2014 conflict, which left over 2,000 people dead. South African Archbishop Stephen Brislin from Cape Town is among those taking part in this year's coordination pilgrimage. He talked to me about how people in Gaza are determined to rebuild their lives despite the lack of any political initiatives for a lasting peace in the region.
Well, I think, first of all, there was a marked difference between the Gaza we saw in these past couple of days and the Gaza which we saw in 2015. In 2015, when we went there, of course, it was just after the war and the bombings of 2014, and people were very dejected, even though they still had a very strong spirit, and of course we saw a lot of damage from the bombs. This time, we noticed that there's a lot of activity in Gaza. People are rebuilding, cement, at least in certain quantities, is once again allowed through. There's a lot of activity on the streets. People's spirits seem to be quite buoyant, and they seem to be quite hopeful. I think to me one of the highlights was to visit a town neighboring Israel, very close to the border, that had been very badly damaged in 2014, and to be able to speak to the mayor and the councillors of that place and to see that, you know, people are very determined to try and get back to normality. Gaza is a terrible place, and it is an open-air prison, but nonetheless people want to live a life as normal as possible. And it was just good to see them being led by good people and very determined people. We also visited the projects of the CRS, the Catholic Relief Services, primarily in developing accommodation for people who had to leave their homes due to bomb damage. And this is basically temporary housing made of wood. And they have done a tremendous job. I think they've built something like 450 homes. And these have been a great assistance to people who have been left displaced from the bombings. We also visited the Rosary School, the school which is Catholic. I believe there are 5 Christian schools in Gaza, 3 of which are Catholic. And the Holy Rosary School has about 900 pupils, of which only about 82 are Catholic or Christian even, and the rest are Muslim. And yet people are able to be tolerant and go to school together. One of the questions we asked is whether the classes are mixed, that means with boys and girls, or whether the genders are separated. But in fact, the sisters assured us that the classes are always mixed. And even though this had been questioned at some time, they were able to talk it through and say, well, this is part of our understanding as Catholics, and it's quite acceptable to people at the moment. We also, of course, had a lovely Mass in the Holy Family Catholic Church last night and again this morning, and it was wonderful simply to be able to pray with fellow Catholics who are experiencing a great deal of hardship in Gaza, and to be with them and to express our solidarity with them and our sense of being part of the same Catholic family.
I understand that the Catholic parish there in Gaza has its own holy door for this year of mercy.
Correct. The Patriarch opened the Holy Door recently, and it was wonderful to be able to process into that for the first time last night, the first time for us as people coming, bishops coming from different parts of the world and other delegates. And it gave a sense, too, of setting the scene for what we believe is a visit to the church in Gaza and the church in Palestine, which surely must reflect the mercy of God and the mercy of fellow Christians, Catholics, that we have come here because we feel the suffering of the people here, and therefore we want to be in solidarity with them. And I think that the whole visit is geared towards that, of saying that we are representing people who are very concerned about Christians who are suffering here in the Holy Land, but also in other places in the world.
What are you hoping to take back from this visit to Gaza to your own community in South Africa? The sufferings in Palestine there in Israel are a long way away from the kind of conditions that people are living in back in South Africa, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I think the most important thing for us really is awareness. And we do try to communicate with fellow South Africans about what we have seen and what we have experienced. And I think simply to relay the stories that people have told us, the stories of their lives and what has happened to them, their own hardships and sufferings, but also the joys, because while people have suffered and do suffer, there's also a tremendous sense of joy. And we do try to convey that back at home as well. I'll be very privileged quite soon to be coming on a pilgrimage from South Africa. And it's a pilgrimage with a difference, because we're calling it a peace pilgrimage. And of course, we'll see all the holy sites. But we'll also try to interact with people, both Palestinian and Jewish, and to try and simply listen and to gain a greater understanding of the complexities of the society. Furthermore, we also always try to meet with our Minister of Foreign Affairs, International Relations and Cooperation is the correct title, to brief her of what we have seen, and also just to hear how government is thinking at the moment regarding the issues of the Holy Land.
The situation between Israelis and Palestinians is sometimes described as an apartheid system, likened in a way to the situation that existed in South Africa before the democratic elections. Do you think this is a valid comparison today?
Look, I think there are many similarities, but I would be very reluctant simply to label it as an apartheid society. I think first and foremost that degrades the South African struggle as it was, because South Africa was a very particular polarized society. I also think that simply labeling the society as an apartheid society doesn't lend to understanding the particular complexities and the historical difficulties and struggles of this area. So I'm a bit worried about labels, but of course there are many similarities. And the fact that even though, for example, in Gaza, a lot of stuff has been allowed through the border, foodstuff and necessities of life, nonetheless, the Israelis have absolute control as to what goes in and what cannot go in. And while people are able now to import things like foodstuffs and cement and building material, to a certain extent at least, they're not allowed to export anything. So there's no produce coming out of Gaza. So it's very, very much a controlled situation. And I think that that is rather reminiscent of South Africa, where the white government, the apartheid government, really controlled black people's lives, where they could live, where they could go to school, where they could visit family even, in terms of the influx control measures that they had at that time. So yes, there are similarities, but I think that we mustn't simplify the situation or simply label it.
It is a very complex situation, as you say, and there doesn't seem to be very much political hope on the horizon. We've already seen Israeli air attacks in the first few days of this year in response to Hamas missiles. Is there any sense of hope on the horizon for people there at all?
Well, the surprising thing to me is that there does seem to be a sense of hope, but nobody can really say why there is hope. It's a sort of general hope that springs from the strength of the human spirit, I think, a type of hope that says, well, no matter how bad the situation is, there always is hope. But I've asked many people about, you know, is there progress in terms of a peace process? But nobody feels that there is any progress or anything happening on that front at the moment. I've spoken to journalists as well from other parts of the world, who are very knowledgeable about the situation here, and they too are saying that really there just seems to be absolutely nothing that is happening to bring about a resolution to the situation.